chapter 7 together. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an enemy. Now that's the title of it, the deceiver. That's the title of one that deceives. Pastors and preachers all over the world, in this country, this city, and all over the world, are many of them deceivers, absolute liars. They claim to be a Christian, they're a liar, they're the devil's children. They're not saved, these pastors. So they get paid by the churches and so they continue. Then many, that's just for few, but many deceivers enter into the world. And what do? They confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They don't believe in incarnation. And that's exactly what many of these preachers have. We've fallen from Christian, from the Bible, and from doctrine in many, many years in this country and all around the world. It's a sad thing. Devil's people are in charge of the so-called Christian faith. They're no more Christian than the devil himself. But they parade. And they don't confess Jesus coming to us. The deity and his incarnation, the secret also an antichrist. Absolute antichrist. And if you say that to some of them, they would put you in jail. That's untrue what they are. As far as deceivers, in Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. We've got to be careful of deceivers. We have to know the Bible, have to know the verses, the truth, lest people deceive us. For many, not just a few, many shall come in my name, say, I am Christ, deceive you, because he's Christ, and shall deceive many. In John 7, 12, in John 7, verse 12, there's much murmuring among the people concerning him, the Lord Jesus, saying, nay, but he deceived the people. He's a good man. Some say he's a good man. Others say, no, he deceived the people. And John 7, 43 and following, there was a division among them concerning the Savior. And some of them would have taken him, no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees and said, why have ye not brought him? They wanted to kill him and imprison him. And others said, no man speak like this man. Then answered one of the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? That the people who know not the law are cursed. Then Nicodemus, one that came to Jesus by night, he said, being one of the disciples, one of the Pharisees, does our law judge any man before he heareth him and know what he has done? It's a good question. Then 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're in that age today. We've been in it for many decades. Deceiving and being deceived. In Revelation 12, verse 9, the old devil has five names here. Five names. That great dragon, that's the first name, was cast out. That old serpent, that's the second name, called the devil, that's the third name. And Satan, that's the fourth name, which deceiveth the whole world, deceiver, that's the fifth name. The old devil is a master deceiver and very sad situation. And then in Revelation 20, verse 10, what was the fate of this devil with five names? And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire. That's a real lake of fire. Some don't believe that, but it is. Fire and brimstone. Where the beast and false prophet are. They were there for 1,000 years, and finally the devil was cast in also the lake of fire. And shall be tormented day and night. A lot of people teach the devil the hell all of a sudden passes away. No. The devil, all the deceivers, all the unbelievers that don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will be there tormented day and night, not just for one day, a week, or a month, or a year. Forever and ever. As far as the Antichrist is concerned, these deceivers are Antichrist. In 1 John 2, verse 22, who is a liar? Now God said that, I didn't say it. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. He's a liar. He's Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. God the Father, God the Son as well. In 1 John 4, verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, Christ is coming in the flesh, the incarnation, is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereby you've heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Let's read verse number 8 together. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves, continuously, as a present continuous action, examine ourselves. That's what we should do, John says, to the people he's writing to. As far as looking to yourselves, in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, 28 rather, let a man examine himself. It's before the Lord's table. And swallow the meat of that bread and drink of that cup. We've got to examine ourselves. Look to yourselves. Then in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves again. Whether you be in the faith, are you sure you're saved? Are you genuinely converted and trusting Christ as Savior? Prove or test your own selves. Knowing not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except to be a reprobate. The incarnation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's called a clarity of Scripture. And when we think of the Holy Spirit, but the Lord Jesus indwells, and unless you be reprobates, the Lord Jesus Christ does not indwell any reprobates. That you receive a full reward. There's much to say about rewards in Scripture. In Psalm 19, verses 9 to 11. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Not according to some people. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, as warnings in Scripture. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Then Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That's not very happy to have. And persecute you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Then in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15, the judgment seat of Christ talks about rewards. What is the grace of God which is given unto me? As a wise master builder, said Paul, I have laid the foundation of Christ, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man, every Christian gentleman and lady as well, every person take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation that you're saved and genuine Christian. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, and then wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It's the judgment seat of Christ, because it shall be revealed by fire. Spiritual type of fire, illustration here. The fire shall try and test every man's work of what sort it is, not how much it is. What sort, what kind of work does this Christian build upon the Lord Jesus Christ? If any man's work abide, but shall build thereon, he shall receive a reward. The reward of genuine Christians, that's the judgment seat of Christ. But if any man's work shall be burned, the fire, wood, hay, and stubble burn up. That's bigger than gold and silver. But it burns up, it's waste, it's not valuable, the standpoint of gold and silver, precious stones. His work to be burnt up, he shall suffer a loss. This Christian is built on this wayward, so will suffer a loss, serious loss. But he himself shall be saved. Yes, so as by fire. That, after that fire, he himself loses salvation, loses rewards. In Revelation 22, verse 12, Behold, I come quickly, said the Lord Jesus. My reward is with me. The other man, according to his work, shall be. Let's read also together verse number 9. Verse number 9.
Whosoever drinketh of this and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
I've given you a list of 16 specific doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, things that are true of him. Before we look at that, we'll also see the words doctrine of Christ. In Matthew 7, verse 26, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, astonished at his teachings. In Matthew 22, verse 33, when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine again. In John 7, 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me, the Father sent me. If any man will do his will, he will show or know the doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. God knows the doctrine. In Acts 2, verse 42, and they continued, the apostles, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. If we continue in this church as we have in the past, the apostles' doctrine, teachings of the Word of God. In Acts 5, verse 26, 28, right? Saying, didn't we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name, the name of the Lord Jesus? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Romans 15, verse 16, verse 17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Put your signet upon them. Point them out, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. Separate from these apostates that teach false doctrine. Don't have any spiritual affluence and confluence and agreement with them. Avoid them. That means don't go to any World Council of Churches church. Don't go to any National Council of Churches church. Any other thing that's false doctrine. God commands us to avoid them. Many people don't avoid, they don't honor that, don't agree with that, and don't obey. But God says avoid them. That's what he means. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, full of assurance, and all good works. That's an extra verse we added on there. That's good. 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 4. We know this perhaps, I say if we do. Preach the word. Begins from in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, for all long suffering and doctrine. That's what Pastor Timothy was told by Paul to do. That's what we see to do in our church here. Preach the word. And then, the next verse we might as well say that also. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Fables indeed. Now inside your bulletin I listed some 18 things about the Lord Jesus Christ, specific doctrines. This is what the Lord just did. He got to acknowledge his deity. And we'll see if you don't acknowledge these things, you don't have anything to do with these people. His eternal sonship, he is always the Son of God. His virgin birth, no human father. His miracles, his truthfulness, I am the way, the truth, and life. He never lies. His omniscience, all knowing. His omnipresence, everywhere present. His omnipotence, all powerful. His substitutionary work on the cross of Calvary for all sinners, not something they elect, the substitution group, but all sinners. The provision was made for all. The provision only for those that trust as the Savior. Verse number 10, his salvation by genuine faith alone. Genuine faith, not by works, not by baptism, anything else. His miracles, all those miracles we're learning in. His purpose for coming into the world. To seek and to say that was his loss. His bodily resurrection, not simply his spirit. Number 14 is preparing a place in heaven for the believers. These are doctrines about the Lord Jesus. 15, his second coming, the rapture, to believe, get the believers first, and then his return in glory, set up for the millennial reign of Christ. Number 16, his judgment seat of Christ for all Christian believers. And then the great white throne judgment for all the lost, of all the world, of all time. And then his 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the millennial reign of the Savior. 1,000 years going to be reigned upon this earth. These are doctrines about the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that denies any of these doctrines, any of the 18, many also as well,
Anyone that denies these things, stay away from them religiously. Just stay with, let's put some of the verses on that as well. Let's read verse number 10 together. If they come into you, say that bring not this doctrine, proceed not into your realm,
neither bid in God's feet.
Anyone come into your area, bring not these doctrines. All 18 of them, probably many more. What are you supposed to do? Receive him not into your house. Keep him out of your house. Whether it's an awful witness or some other person comes with false doctrine. Keep him out of your house. Notice the second thing. Neither get bid in God's speech. Oh, Lord bless you. Go up to heaven. Don't say anything. Don't receive him and don't get in God's speech. Separation from apostasy is biblical and scriptural. Separation. Not amalgamation. In Ephesians 5:11, God says clearly, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't have any fellowship with it. No Christian fellowship of any kind. Unfruitful works of darkness. What he's supposed to do is that, rather, reprove them. Reprove them. Remark against them, have nothing to do with them. Reprove them. Then in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, that's a standard verse of separation from apostasy. God says very clearly, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The religious yoking together, you could say hello if you drive to the drugstore from them, and you can buy your groceries and you talk to them, but nothing to do with religious compromise and fellowship with them. Nothing. Not a Christian going to these apostate churches. They're wonderful about it. They think it's great. Don't have any fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. Then in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, very good verses. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's an unequal yoke if you're a genuine Christian. For the question is, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? There's no fellowship. Stay away, avoid it. Don't be yoked together. And what communion has light with darkness? There's no communion. Light and darkness are two different things. And what concord has Christ with Belial, with the old devil? There's no concord in agreement with that. Don't fellowship with them. Don't have any religious yoking with them. And then what part? What part does he that believeth with an influence? There's no part of any kind with an influence. And what agreement at the temple of God? Genuine Christians are the temple of God. The temple with idols. There's no agreement there. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, the conclusion of this, wherefore, come out from among them, these unbelievers, these lost hell-bound sinners, as far as religious worship, and be separate. Separate. A lot of churches are not separate. They're mixed believers and unbelievers, righteous and unrighteous, all in one church. Be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't even touch it. And I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. It's very important that we see this. And this is important. Let's read the next verse right there. Where is it? Okay, here we go. Verse number 13. I strip over. Let me just see. I got two, so I won. Yes. Where is your son? Did I? We heard this one. Okay. Let's read it together. For he who says in God's speed is partaker of his evil deeds. If you even say God bless you, God's speed, or just reading like that, you become a partaker, according to God, of his evil deeds. I didn't say that. God says it. That's a serious charge. Partaker of their evil deeds. Bidding in God's feet. The word partaker in 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. And evil deeds and evil. In Ezra 9:13. After all that has come upon us for our evil deeds, and our great trespass, seeing that thou our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserved, has given us such deliverance as this. So Ezra was happy about that. The verses on evil and sinners, particularly the evil deeds, 1 Samuel 15:16. And the Lord sent thee, that is Saul, on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. That's what Saul was supposed to do. In Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. He was a man perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil, hated it, and departed from it. In Psalm 1:1, we know that one, we'll say it together. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We've got to be separate from evil. And like the psalmist in Psalm 1 says, in the New Testament as well. In Matthew 6:13, Lord Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For mine is the power and wisdom. God is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. Then in John 17:15, I say not that thou shalt take them out of the world, that thou shalt keep them from the evil. He's praying high priestly prayer to the Father for his disciples and apostles. Keep them from the evil. In Romans 12:9, but love thee without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Every Christian should abhor, hate it, evil. Cleave to that which is good. Grab onto the good. And then, all these verses on evil. In Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil. Don't be swamped up and overcome. Overcome evil with good. According to the scriptures. In Romans 13:4, he that is the government official, or should be, he's the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. He beareth not the sword in vain. He is the minister of God, or avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's the definition of a proper government. Proper government, not evil governors. Proper governors. That's what their job is to do, and they don't do it, many of them. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications or associations corrupt good manners. Stay away from evil communications and associations. They corrupt your manners. Then you're Christians. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, here's what to do, even the appearance of evil, abstain from it. Even the appearance. A lot of times we don't do evil, but it looks like we're doing it. Stay away from the appearance, even of evil. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Ask him to do it. He will do it. He'll answer it. Keep you from evil. In 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, says Paul to Timothy. Even though he's in prison, when he writes this, his last imprisonment, and they slaughtered him. And keep me for every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Roman government couldn't take him out of heaven. When they slaughtered him, he went right to heaven immediately. Paul was gracious for that. He will keep. Then in Hebrews 7:26, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And 1 Peter 3:11, talking about a Christian, let him eschew evil, hate it, and do good, and seek peace, and ensure, follow peace as well. Let's read verse 12 again. Having many things to write unto you,
I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full.
Fullness of joy. 14 verses on joy. You know, God does not want Christians to be unhappy, but with joy. Fullness of joy. In Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In Psalm 51 and verse 4 and verse 12, restore unto me, says David, the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy new spirit, free spirit. In Jeremiah 15:16. You might know this, but Beulah said, thy words were found, and I had eaten them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. The joy of thy word, that's why we should know it. It is, it should be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. It's a great word. I've been reading it ever since I've been a Christian at the age of 16, once a year. Wonderful one. I just keep reading it, because I'm not the same person every day that I was before the next day. Yeah, every day and every year, I find out something new. It's a blessing to me. Jeremiah. And then Habakkuk 3, verse 17. This is a wonderful section of verses. Many things are going bad with him. Number one, although the fig tree shall not blossom, fig trees are not blossoming. Neither shall be fruit in the vine, no fruit. And the labor of the olive tree shall fall and fail. The olives are gone. And the fields shall yield no meat. Nor the flock, all his animals, shall be cut off from the fold. And there's no herd in the stalls. Sounds like he's going to be in gloom and doom. Because all these things are going wrong for his living. But the next verse says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. When everything goes bad for us, we have a Savior, a Lord to rejoice in. I will joy in the God of my salvation. May all of us be like Habakkuk. And some other verses on joy. In fact, quite a few. In Luke 2:10, the birth of the Lord Jesus, the virgin birth. The angel said unto them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. In Luke 16, or 15, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Joy. In Luke 15:10, likewise I say there be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Joy, all these verses on joy. In John 15, verse 11, you may know this, but if you will, it said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's what the Lord Jesus told his apostles. In John 16, verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, the Lord is going to die, and your heart shall rejoice. Your joy no man taketh from you. Not a single man to take it from you. In John 16, verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. We want our joy full. In Acts 13, verse 52, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul was about to go to Jerusalem. They warned him against it. They're going to kill you, Paul. He says, none of these things move me. Neither can I have my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Even if it means death, the persecution, finished with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Then Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through power of the Holy Spirit. Then in Galatians 5:22, we know this one, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Then in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of this, our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy set before him at the cross, because he's going to have other believers, Christians, that follow him and serve him. 1 Peter 1 verse 8, whom having not seen we love. We know this one. In whom, but now we see him not, yet believing, he rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of joy. Then 1 John 1:4. These things write I unto you, that's your joy. I just go all these verses on joy, because that's what God wants in your Christian to have, fullness of joy. Regardless of circumstances, difficulties, joy. Let's read verse number 13.
The children of God, elect sister, greet me. Amen.
Probably one of the members of the church there, elect sister. The greet is only is used 15 different times. This is in Philippians 4, verse 21. Salute or greet every saint in Christ Jesus. We should say hello, we should greet fellow believers. The brethren which are with me greet you. Then in 1 John, rather 3 John, verse 14. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. Hopefully you know the name, so we can greet them. And then the last verse, last word, is amen. That word amen is used in many different areas. Let me just read a little bit about what that word means. The word amen is the most remarkable word. It was transliterated directly from the Hebrew into Greek. Amen. Amen. And Hebrew means I believe it. Amen. I believe it. And directly into English and many other languages. So it is practically a universal word. It's been called the best known word in human speech. It's been called the best known word. Amen. So we're directly related, in fact, almost identical to the Hebrew word for believe, amen, or faithful. Thus it came to mean sure or truly, expression of absolute trust and confidence. So he ends his word, this book here, with amen. And we pray that we may, looking at this second book of 2 John, these last verses, never forget the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teaching. The thing that we have in the scriptures that are his teaching. We should stick with them, we should obey them. And all these 16 particular titles of doctors concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we should believe, we should uphold, as our church does, every single one of them. And if people come and do not believe these things, call these all lies, or even some or even one of them, don't have any spiritual union or fellowship with that person. You can say hello and so on, but be sure that you stay away from churches or pastors or preachers or Christians to deny some of these doctrines concerning our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's evil. That's wicked. It's a terrible thing. If they want to disbelieve all these doctrines about Christ, his deity, his body, his resurrection, and so on, all the things, let them go somewhere and don't believe them. And then let them try to enjoy the lake of fire one day, and they have to go there for denying the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sad situation. We wish they'd believe. We wish they'd be one of us. But if they won't, they won't. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our dear Father, we do thank thee for these verses of the Apostle John. He tells it like it is. There's no question about it. All these other verses we've seen today, thou dost want us to trust our Savior, exalt him, believe all the doctrines that thou teach us in thy word concerning his truth and his resurrection, his death for sinners, and all the other things. Thou dost want with us, if there be any of those that are listening in our service here, or those in the internet that are not genuine Christians, we pray, Lord, they may trust our Savior as theirs and receive the joy of thy salvation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Take our hymnals again. Turn to hymn number.